We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Ostrowski.
We looked into that last year, just kind of getting a feel for where we're at. Coming from Coach Reed's deal with him, he was so good after the bye weeks. I think he had like an 18, I don't know what his record was, but it was pretty good. And obviously that's not happening here. So for us, it's a deal with this year, with everything being a little bit different. Every day the schedule is a little bit different. Things are a little, you know, just how we're doing things. So it's kind of an asterisk in regards to the schedule and what we're doing. But I think the biggest thing is to make sure that, are these guys mentally and physically healthy? This is the last week for us where we keep our normal reps in practice. So we start kicking it back rep-wise starting next week a little bit, not a lot. But I think the biggest thing is probably just making sure that we're not doing anything too out of the ordinary, which I don't think we are.
It's your world, Joe!
Knights on 670 The Score.
3 days away from Bears-Panthers, and there's your head coach, Matt Nagy, meeting with the media today. This hour on The Score brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. My name's Joe Ostrowski, with you till 10 o'clock. On Sports Radio 670, The Score, we've got a lot to cover. Yeah, we'll get into Bears-Panthers as well. And I'm not trying to be contrarian, but I'm just in a spot with this whole Tony La Russa thing where I'm drained already. I'm drained, so I can't imagine if it actually happens. This if we have that press conference, boy, that would be surreal. Tony La Russa. Back with the White Sox all these years later. I'm an old man, and I don't remember him managing the White Sox last time. That's how young I was, and some of you weren't even alive at that point. But I think I'm okay with it. I finally got there. Is that being hot takey, Rick Camp? Because just after sitting on it for a couple of days, like, it's okay. It's okay. It wouldn't end things. I find it comical that the same people that tell me again and again and again that managers don't mean anything, they don't matter, they're interchangeable. Okay, fine, you fired Ricky. It doesn't really matter much anyways because that's my stance on managers, so I've got to be consistent here. They're up in arms about the possibility of bringing in a Hall of Famer and Tony La Russa. I find it quite comical.
You can just call her by name. It's okay.
No, it's a lot of people. It's not just Herb. And I've had that conversation with him many times. Is he up in arms about it? Is he upset about it? I don't know.
I think he doesn't prefer it. But he's not as up in arms as a lot of people. I mean, I'm not... like after
He hasn't quit the White Sox like Dan B?
No.
So
neither of which is shocking.
So entertaining. But yes, go ahead, Rick.
But no, like, I think after the initial shock of just like, I kind of forgot Tony La Russa still existed type thing, and hearing the name, it's like, that is a very, very White Sox-y thing to do. I mean, I sure as hell don't want it. And I just think for as much as progress as it feels like the Sox have made as an organization, that this would just be the step right back to like three steps before, and it'll feel like, while you still have a lot of good players, what's the direction of the actual organization, and how much will this talent have to overcome from what, in theory, this one probably bad decision would lead to after that? I think that's
heard that a lot, and that's where you lose me, man. I don't understand that idea at all. Let's start here. Is Tony La Russa an upgrade over Rick Renteria?
You're not sure. No, I
don't. You're not sure.
Well, I honestly, at this point, I just think no. I just think Tony La Russa is too old. It's more just Tony La Russa is a huge unknown. He hasn't managed in basically a decade. Like, at this point, I just don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't trust anything about him. I think if you go the whole floor ceiling thing, I don't think the ceiling is that high, and I think the floor is extremely low.
Okay. I think much of the reason that people feel this way is as soon as Rick Renteria was hired, you listened to Rick Hahn, and all these assumptions were made that the White Sox are going to hire AJ Hinch or Alex Cora, and it's going to be an upgrade. And if they did that, I don't disagree with you. I think that those would absolutely be upgrades. But I also think that Tony La Russa would be an upgrade over Rick Renteria. That's how poor of a manager that he was. First, let's pick our lane here. Do managers matter or not? If they don't matter, you shouldn't be that upset about it. Because even if you think they don't matter, but okay, the bottom of the barrel ones matter. Okay, let's say that's your take on managers. You really think Tony La Russa is going to be a bottom five manager in the game? This is where I'm confused, okay? And we're talking like, okay, he has not managed since 2011. I get that. But he hasn't left the game. He's been involved. Look at what he's been doing and which levels he's been working at with various organizations. Like, right after retirement, okay, I'm bored, let's do something. I'll hang out with Joe Torre in the MLB office and we'll deal with on-field discipline just so I have a job and I'm not completely bored. Then a few years later, you know what, I want to get back in the game. Okay, I'm going to go to Arizona. I'm going to be the chief baseball officer. Some success, some not so much. Then he goes out to Boston. He's a special assistant for Dave Dombrowski. Think of the Boston Red Sox. For those of you worried that he's fallen behind the times, he doesn't know anything about analytics, the Boston Red Sox with Dombrowski, he assisted in player development. He's an advisor for all of the coaches in the organization. He consulted Alex Cora. I mean, this is where I'm getting at. This is why I do understand it's not just Jerry doing a favor for a friend. Like, this is legitimate. Senior advisor for baseball ops with the Angels. You think being in the game over the last decade, it seems like the Angels, Red Sox, Diamondbacks, like, he wasn't paying attention at all? He didn't understand how the game has changed over the last decade, and it has? If he wasn't involved in the game, I'd have major red flags. But he is involved. He has been involved. He's paying close attention to what's happened in the game. And maybe I'm trying to make a case because I'm pretty damn sure, knowing the White Sox and how they roll, that if he wants the job, he's going to be the manager. But age is the number one thing that's been brought up. We've got four managers left right now. All of them use a lot of analytics. Cutting edge. Some of them have cheated a whole bunch. And you have a couple of younger managers like Kevin Cash and Dave Roberts with the Rays and the Dodgers. But then you also have with Atlanta, Brian Snitker, 64 years old. Dusty Baker, I know his warts. I know not everybody loves him. All the issues when he was here in Chicago. He's 71. Did anybody think that the Astros would be sitting here in the ALCS without Justin Verlander? They didn't even know who they were going to start today in this game. And they've got a chance to extend this series another game. 71. Joe Maddon saw him win a World Series. He's a senior citizen as well. I just think we're going too far with some of it. Let's not forget what he's accomplished. And it was interesting listening to Bernie Miklas, who's covered La Russa's entire managerial career in St. Louis for 16 years. And he's had some battles with him. He's like, look, He told Mullion Hall this morning on the station, he is well-versed in analytics. Had countless conversations with him. Said he's one of the best people he's ever covered. Well, the manager that you're going to bring in, to me, that's probably the main job, because you're going to deal with the media before the games and after the games, and you're going to have to answer all the questions. And, of course, we've seen the highlights when he's prickly or he snaps at somebody. But go talk to people that covered him on an everyday basis. They didn't mind covering him. And something that really jumped out to me was when Mikklas told the boys he is into the analytics. He understands what all of it means and the value of it. But he also believes you can't forget the human element. You know who else we've heard say that? Oh, I don't know, 1,000 times over the last decade? Theo Epstein. I have a feeling, though, when Tony La Russa says that, oh, he's a dinosaur, get out of the game, I don't want him managing the team on the south side. But when Theo says, oh, praise Theo, oh, Theo said it, it's true. We've just gone too far here. La Russa would be an upgrade over Renteria. And that's where I'm at on this. I mean, some of this is crazy. Yeah, it's out of left field, especially when you're expecting Hinch or Cora. It isn't conventional at all. You see a lot of teams hiring younger guys. But you also see some teams that are going with the guys that have experience. You are seeing that. And are we sure that this is Rick Hahn's decision? Does anybody really believe that? It's Jerry. We all know that, right? I mean, Hawk was saying it on the station today. Rick and Kenny could say whatever they want, and we don't know Ken's Williams' role, by the way. But it's Jerry's decision. It might be the last big decision of his life as owner of the White Sox. The last big one. Because this is could be the last chance that he has to see a winner on the South Side, the team that he truly loves. I think La Russa would be an upgrade. And, of course, they would help him out, and I'm sure La Russa would have say, or they would have some conversations about a bench coach and the rest of the staff. Apparently, that was the issue in the end, the lack of the in-game analytics being used by Rick Renteria, and Rick Hahn had his frustrations, according to the Sun Times. So that was part of it. So you think they're going to bring in someone who's going to do the exact same thing? There's so many layers to this. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Thanks for hanging out on this Thursday evening. A lot of Bears-Panthers stuff tonight we want to get to before I get out of here at 10 o'clock. If you want to jump in or text in your thoughts, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Is this Hahn's hire? I don't know. We've been questioning how things go at 35th and Shields for how many years now? How long were we saying, oh, it's Kenny's team anyways? It's Kenny. Okay, now it's Rick. Now it seems like it's Rick. Well, they both have bosses. So none of that really matters. It matters what Jerry has to say. And if we're looking at this logically, it is valid that maybe Reinsdorf went to Rick and said, my guy wants to get back in the game, Tony. Can you do me a solid? Can you just talk to him? We'll get his name out there. We'll leak it to a couple people. They'll report it just so people know. And then they see the credentials. We see some older managers right now being very successful, like Dusty and Snitker and Madden in recent years. So maybe he'll get a shot again. That's possible. Another possibility is, while he said all those things, he's thinking, well, once he gets him in the room, he's going to be so impressed. He's going to think he could be the missing piece. He could be exactly what this roster needs, and he's going to hire him. How do you bring a Hall of Famer in the room and say, no, not what we're looking for? Here's the other part. Please interview my guy. I won't get in the way. Okay, cool. How tough is it? Your boss is Jerry Reinsdorf. Let's say that's how it went down. How tough is it to go to the chairman? You're the chairman. And you say, yeah, one of your best friends, Hall of Famer, not a good fit. Don't like it. I'm not hiring him. You think that's happening? Rick, do you think that's happening?
No.
So this idea, I think it's pretty hilarious. It's going to be Rick Hahn. If he wants him, he'll be there. If he doesn't want him, he's not going to be there. Oh, really? It's hilarious to me. We know how it's going to go down. If Jerry Reinsdorf wants him to be the manager, he's going to be the manager.
Right. And that's every owner has that right to do that. I mean, most of them don't.
And it's a little different here.
100%. Yeah, it's one of those things where that's going to be the fascinating part is if this does go down, then where does the scorn go? Does it go to Hahn for, in theory, not stepping up or whatever to, you know, tell off his boss? Or mm-hmm. does it go to just Jerry Reinsdorf for picking his friend?
How did the Renteria firing go down? Okay, you can fire him, but was that part of it? Fascinating. I can't wait to see how this plays out, but I'm probably the nut job. I'm not doing a hot takey thing here, but if they go with him, it's not the worst thing in the world. Especially if you're that person that say it's about the players on the field, then it shouldn't matter that much. Then you're not getting worse by a guy that is on the record. You talk to his players. They will tell you, sure, he can grind on guys. Now, I don't know if he's that same guy at 76 or whatever age he is right now. He can grind on guys. But it's positive culture. I'd say that's pretty important right now with this team at this stage. I want to get your thoughts on this. Am I off my rocker? Am I going nuts here? I'm okay with it. I wouldn't love it. It wouldn't be my top hire. It wouldn't be one of my top five selections. But it also wouldn't kill everything. It wouldn't be, we're taking five steps back. Now they're not going to win the American League Central. They're not going to be one of the best teams in baseball. They still have all that talent, and I think most of us expect them to add this offseason. Want to get your thoughts. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. My name is Joe Ostrowski. This is 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Breaking White Sox news. The Sox have named Tony La Russa as their new manager.
No, God! Please, no!
Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, by the way, Twitter was down for an hour, and I know a lot of you aren't even on Twitter. We kind of have to be for our jobs so we don't miss any breaking news, any stories we might want to discuss on the air. And while Twitter was down, Le'Veon Bell picked his team. As soon as I saw it's down to a few teams, and here you go, Chiefs are among the list. Like, why would you not pick Kansas City? Great coaching staff, great offense, absolutely no pressure to produce immediately. None. They're a guarantee for the playoffs. Maybe they're going to have that one seed, the only team to get a bye in the AFC. They're already considered the best team in the NFL. Of course you would pick the Chiefs. Great offensive line, too. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, a pretty good rookie running back, Allaire. Glad I didn't pick him for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I'm glad I'm not playing fantasy football this year. Because if I had him, I'd be really angry right now. Because Le'Veon Bell is going to take touches away from him. Oh, yeah, by the way, my quarterback is the best in the world. Of course you're going to pick Kansas City. If you're not going to be paid any money, go to the best situation.
Is this your first year not doing any fantasy?
That I can remember.
How much do you enjoy it?
I love it. Usually on Saturdays or Sundays, so far every week, at some point over the weekend, I think, thank God I don't have to set all my lineups. Or I don't have to go on the waiver wire or check for free agents or worry about injuries. It's glorious, Rick, and I'm never going back.
I'm debating myself because I'm in two this year.
How many are you in? Oh, two. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in two, and I'm like, man, I was ready for it when the year started, and maybe it's just part of the nature of this year being weird, but I'm just not there. Like, my team's, one of them's decent, one of them's bad, but I just, like, I'm not putting in near the effort that I did before.
Well, the other part of it is, for me, the best part is always getting together with your buddies for the draft. That is the best part of the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, winning some money and the championship is great. It's not fun hunting down money from people, like something you've had to experience in the past. In fact, it's torture. But I'm not missing it at all. And maybe I'm sure a big part of that is doing the Bet Sweat show every day on radio.com. And I'm talking about all these different betting angles. And it's hard to keep up with everything. And we've got the homeschooling going on. Oh, they return to school tomorrow for hybrid every other day for the rest of the month. And then hopefully every day in November.
Congrats.
Oh, gosh. Oh, thoughts and prayers over the last couple of months. Cannot wait for that. That's awesome. But yeah, I haven't missed it for a second, and I have no desire to return. But you see, the other part of this, and I know it's because it's my job, but I also feel that sports betting has lapped fantasy football as far as popularity, like tenfold over the last few years.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it, because the little bits that, like, one, it's just one aspect of sports betting that leads into the everything, or leads into the, is everything of fantasy. Like, player props is fantasy football.
Correct.
So,
correct.
So, like,
and I've gotten into that more.
Oh, hey, I mean, I got to get into it more for the NFL, because, you know, now that the basketball's gone, I need things to do.
You did well. Did you like doing player props instead of picking sides and totals? You were successful with both, huh?
I loved it.
Would you love it when you have a slate of 10 games on a night?
That's what I don't know. And I feel like that's going to be where my balance is going to have to come in next year. Of how much am I trying to go through every game and saying, you know what, I'm going to break down each of these games, or just targeting a few games where I feel like I know more about those teams and going at it from that front.
I would target a specific number, specific amount of teams, and you focus on their games. That's what I would do. Or maybe you would realize, you know what, I don't really have a gauge on this team. I don't understand this coach and their rotations or this roster, so maybe stay away from those games. That's what I would do. It would become a job, and I don't think you'd enjoy it too much if you tried to cap every game every night.
Agreed. And, like, one thing I did in the in the downtime between the regular season and the bubble was I went through and I looked at, like, every bet that I made, whether it was side or total, and just, like, looking at it, I could tell those teams, whether I was thinking about it or not, that I had either no feel for or no confidence in. Like, I think there were only two teams all season I didn't bet on at any point in terms of a side. And I think it was, like, Charlotte and San Antonio or something like that.
And, like, every bettor has this too, where there are these teams that you just can't get right. Fantasy too. You're trying to figure out, okay, how are they going to be used in the offense? What's the snap count?
Patriots backfield forever.
Forever, man. Just stay away from that. I don't want any of their running backs. Yeah, it looks juicy. And if you end up having the guy, it would be wonderful, but you're going to be really frustrated at certain points throughout the year. But yeah, I'm not missing it at all. I'm not. I'd love to hear from some people too, though. 312-644-6767. That's how you can call or text in. I was getting some support on this as the season was starting. People saying, yeah, I'm not doing it. And the other part, let's not be foolish here. The big reason is people aren't getting together, and so you can't have these drafts. So I understand it. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. Rick Camp, the executive producer. Bob on the south side. What's going on, man?
Hey, Joe. Great show.
Thank you.
You do a good job on football and baseball. But I want to get to baseball for a minute. How does Rick Hahn get a pass for since he started in 2013? Not only that, Sporting News named him Executive of the Year.
Yes.
For finishing third and going 21-3 against Detroit, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh, and 15-24 against everyone else. He hired Ricky Renteria. He let Don Cooper linger the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
How does Rick Hahn get a pass for Edwin Encarnacion, for the right fielder hit one home run, for signing Grandel to $73 million when you already had an all-star catcher, for Adam Dunn, Adam Morose, Jake Peavy, Jeff Samardzija? How does Rick Hahn get a pass for all of this crap that White Sox, Robin Ventura, I don't know who hired Robin Ventura. Maybe it was a combo of
Jerry.
Kenny and Rick and Jerry.
Yeah.
But 8 years of this, and Rick Hahn is Executive of the Year. I'd be embarrassed to finish third place and then be named Executive of the Year. That's embarrassing for Rick Hahn. Don Cooper was labeled the best pitching coach every year. Don't worry, Don Cooper will pick. Rick Hahn is smart. What is Rick Hahn's record? Wins and losses. I know they don't matter in White Sox land, but what is Rick Hahn's record as a general manager? Not rebuilding or rebuilding. 4 years of rebuilding, 4 years of reloading. Just, Joe, read his record. He's one of the worst general managers in baseball. Fernando Tatis Jr. for James Shields. And the list is endless. It's endless, but he only talks about the successes, and that's all. Okay, Louis Robert's going to be good. Maybe his .230 batting average was phony. But,
Moncada, Giolito.
The list is endless.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the phone call. You're not off base there. Now, the problem is they just had what I deem a successful season. I know we expected a deeper run into the playoffs, but for where they are right now in the rebuild, it was a successful season overall. And I don't argue a lot of your points. In fact, for the last couple of years, I've been calling him Teflon Hahn. He doesn't catch any heat. None. Some from fans, but as far as the media, almost none. Why? Because he's a nice guy, and he'll return calls and texts, and he gets along with guys. He does his job, and he does that part of the job very well. So he doesn't catch a lot of heat. You're right. And you mentioned the 8 years part. Well, early on, what was the debate? Is it really Kenny's team, or is it Rick's team? There are people that still bring that up. They still wonder, okay, when he was first hired as the general manager officially, was he really even running the team? That's still brought up. Hahn will be judged on how this works over the next couple of years. That's how he's going to be judged. But as a Sox fan, you know this, Bob. Once you're in the circle, until you want out, you're in. You're golden. You're going to have to fail for a long period of time. I don't think now is the time to get that upset with Rick Hahn. I think he's entitled to have another manager if it's his call. We don't know that it's his call. But yes, his record is not good. It's really awful. It is. Until this year. Look at the playoff drought Sox fans just went through. You know all about it. You were waiting a very, very long time, and it was way too long. As far as the Executive of the Year award, I actually was laughing today because you get that announcement. At the same time, we're hearing that the White Sox might hire Tony La Russa to be their manager. And some are reporting that Tony La Russa is the number one candidate. And we all know that if La Russa gets hired, it's because Jerry Reinsdorf made that decision. So while he's getting this award for Executive of the Year, does he even have the power to hire his next manager after firing Renteria? Very fair question. Sorry, but that did make me laugh today. 312-644-6767. Credit to Jose Abreu, too. Speaking of Sporting News awards announced today, Jose Abreu, the Sporting News Player of the Year. I mean, that is Frank Thomas early win stuff. Those guys won that very same award. I was so wrong on Abreu. When he was basically begging to come back and he told the media, which cracked me up, I don't care if they don't want me, I'm coming back. Jose, that's not quite how it works. I thought it was hilarious. It was wonderful. I never saw this. So what we've seen from him over the last 2 years, I never saw this coming. Never. Expecting a huge dip in production, and it just hasn't happened. He continues to shock me. Great signing, bringing him back. In all fairness, it is easy to point out all the missteps, all the mistakes. If we're going to do that, let's be fair about it. Because in a deal, he got an ace pitcher. I don't know what Kopech's going to be. Moncada looks damn good. And it looks like he's going to be really, really good for a decade. People were questioning about Tim Anderson. Look what Tim Anderson is doing. Luis Robert. He pantsed Theo in that Quintana trade. Pantsed him. So we've got to be fair a little bit here. We do. Let's see what happens moving forward. 312-644-6767. Northwest Side Tom, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Thank you, Joe, for having me on the air. I appreciate that.
You got it.
I just wanted to say that I wanted to agree with the other caller you had there a while ago, that all the mistakes that Teflon Han has made, the worst one that struck me in my heart, and believe me, I'm very sensitive when it comes to, is James McCann. For him to have signed a $73 million contract with that Grandal, who is a way overrated guy, and we were told that he was great at pitch framing. What the heck? Pitch framing is not even going to be in the equation with the, you know, with the computer that's coming in. And
the
McCann was a better. Yeah. McCann is a better pitch framer than Grandal, and then you have all the other ones from the past, but especially Encarnacion this year, terrible, terrible deal. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was a 1-year deal. Yeah, they were taking a shot there. Can you catch Magic for one more season in a playoff run? And let's say these moves are mistakes. Did it hurt them this year? Did it? They won a lot of games. And see, that's the other angle here. It's so hard to judge because you were only playing two of the worst divisions in all of baseball. So we'll probably have a better gauge on all of this next season. But yeah. Made a share of mistakes. And I thought that his team earned a better opportunity. I actually agree with what Rick Renteria was apparently saying behind the scenes. They earned the right to go get another starting pitcher. He didn't have a starting pitcher for the last game of the season. That's on the general manager. I'd be more upset about that than Encarnacion, who's now gone, and you're never going to have to see him play for the Sox again. And it's not like Rondon is useless for you. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but guess what? They had a lot of money to spend because over the past several years, they weren't spending any of it. So it's not the worst thing in the world. And I understand defending McCann after his all-star year. I understand. But no. That's where I would be upset. You knew this team needed a starting pitcher. And look what they were doing. Look what how they were performing. And many thought, wow, they are way too young to be doing this. He didn't have a starting pitcher for them last game of the year. That's on a general manager. Don't tell me about how it's all Rick Renteria's fault. Oh, he mismanaged it and this and that. And look at the guys that they were depending on. All those guys that he brought in couldn't throw strikes in the last game, but so many people wanted to blame Rick Renteria. He was thrown out who was available, man. So it's fine. They're going to make an upgrade at manager. I'm okay with that. I did have my share of issues with Rick Renteria. But if we're going to rip on, we should criticize him for not having a starter in the most important game of the season. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Joe Ostrowski with you till 10 o'clock. Coming up next, I want you to hear a few minutes of Bernie Miklas. Covered the entire managerial career of Tony La Russa while he was with the St. Louis Cardinals. He brings an interesting perspective, and maybe you'll start to bend a little bit. If you are no way on La Russa, you are all the way out on this, maybe you'll be open to the idea. We'll get to that next. Joe Osho, 670 The Score and the Radio.com app. I hate the Astros so much. God, how did they win this game too? Walk-off homer, ninth inning. Astros win. We're going to game six. By the way, Dusty Baker's their manager. He's 71 years old. Not saying it's because of him. We know it's a talent on the field, which would be a similar situation with the White Sox, by the way. 10 steps back. Also, managers don't matter. Wait, what? Joe Ostrowski with the Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, Astros beat the Rays by a score of 4-3, so they win back-to-back games. They have now forced a game six. Oh boy. We've seen this before. A series can turn quickly. Rick, do you want them in the World Series or not? Like, do you want that drama? Just everybody hating them.
I mean, not me personally, but I have a future on the Rays, so.
Well, then obviously you do not want that to happen. At 15-1?
I forget because I took it at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, it might have been, for some reason, 18 sticks in my head, but I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, I think we talked about that early on. That was my pick, a Rays Dodgers World Series, documented on 670thescore.com, I think. I think it was Rays over the Dodgers. I think that was my World Series. But they better get there first. They will not go away, these Astros. Give it up to them. All right, Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio, 670 The Score, but damn, do I hate them. They don't even have Verlander. Ah, very frustrating. All right, let's go back to this morning. Bernie Miklas, been in St. Louis media for a long, long time, covered Tony La Russa's career when he was a manager there, and they've had their share of public run-ins. There's nobody hiding that. And Miklas sounded very open to the idea of La Russa being a manager at this stage in his life. Listen to Miklas this morning on The Score with Mullion Haw.
Well, I was surprised at first, but that quickly subsided, considering that, you know, I've always thought you never really judge La Russa by his age, because he's always been kind of a freak in terms of incredible energy and intensity, and even when he was, say, managing in his 60s, much more energy than managers or baseball people half his age. I mean, it was always astonishing to me the way he maintained that over 162 game season, like that football coach intensity. So I think he's different in that way. He's 76, but in La Russa years, you know, that might be more like 66 or 60. I don't know. Another reason why I wasn't surprised is because I started thinking about how close he is with Reinsdorf. Like, you know, when the Cardinals won the World Series in 2006, Jerry Reinsdorf was in La Russa's office at Busch Stadium. When they won in 2011, you walk in, Jerry Reinsdorf sitting there. I mean, they are, I don't know if I would say they're best friends, but it's right there. I mean, they're unbelievably close, and that relationship has endured over time. I mean, really endured in a strong way over time. So in that context, it's not surprising.
So Bernie, knowing Tony La Russa as you do and having covered him as you did, what do you think at this stage of his life would drive him to want to get back into the dugout at this stage of his life? And after having been inducted into the Hall of Fame and his legacy is intact, why now? What drives him to do this if he indeed does it?
Dave, I just think he's such a remarkable competitor. You know, love him or hate him. Like, I think even Cubs fans would acknowledge the guy was just a bull to deal with because he just kept charging all the time. He never shut it off. I think he misses it. I think he misses being in the arena. I think that he just has that stirring. It's kind of like Dick Vermeil in here in St. Louis. Like he was out of the NFL for 14 years, came back because he just said he missed it. He just missed coaching and leading men, working with other coaches, being in the arena. And he just, at one point, just couldn't resist coming back. Now, granted, Dick Vermeil was 61 when he returned to the Rams in the NFL after a 14-year absence. But I think there are some parallels here. I just think some guys have a very difficult time unplugging all the way. No matter how long they're out, there's something that's pulling them back.
If you think about this happening, and again, what's amazing about it is that Rick Hahn, the general manager of the White Sox, spoke about the managerial position and talked about recent experience in October. I think a lot of people kind of jumped to A.J. Hinch as the guy, and there was a lot of kind of building feeling about that, and I know you have to wait till after the World Series for anything like that to happen. But Tony, it just kind of came out of nowhere. I understand what you're saying about the relationship with Jerry, but it isn't the baseball guys making the decision. It isn't the front office that's coming up with this. It is the owner kind of jumping in and determining that, no, we're going to go with this guy. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so hard to wrap your mind around it, because you thought they were more ambitious. Now, maybe this is the ultimate ambitious move, getting a Hall of Fame manager out of retirement, but the game seems to have changed quite a bit. Is that an unfair analysis?
No, it's a legit question. And I just want to preface this, Mully. My point in answering some of these questions in terms of, I'm not trying to say you guys are wrong or you don't get it or that fans who would be concerned about this don't get it. That's not my purpose. Maybe I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit from the standpoint that I know La Russa so well. And, I do think having battled with him and sparred with him and really enjoyed covering him for 16 seasons here in St. Louis. I mean, and I've maintained a relationship, quasi-friendship with him since he retired. He is a very headstrong guy, and I've read and heard, understandably so, like, hey, you know, you have a bright young, you know, a newer generation, let's say, general manager and Rick Hahn, who's very, very good by all accounts. And so now you're going to bring, you know, kind of the golden oldie in there, and it's like, how do they possibly mesh? Now, in my experience, La Russa is headstrong, and he will push, I think we ought to make this move. Hey, that guy's available. Let's go get him. That stuff I don't think will ever subside, but he worked very well with the two general managers that he had in St. Louis, and both of them who really have terrific track records, Walt Jocketty and John Mozeliak. Yeah, they would have very spirited discussions, but he understood his place. He never ripped management. He never went behind management's back. They would all make a decision. Everybody would express their views. Even if he disagreed, it's okay. We move forward together. And I really do believe he's a team player in that regard. The other thing there's a couple other things real quick. You know, he hasn't been out of the game, and I really do think that's important. I mean, it's not like he's been out on a boat somewhere. I mean, he's, you know, he ran the Arizona Diamondbacks, granted with mixed results, some bad things, some good things. He goes to Boston when Dave Dombrowski said, I need your help. You know, they win a World Series. He was with the Angels. That was only a year, so I don't think that really matters much. But he's been involved in the game on a daily basis. He just hasn't been in the dugout. So the idea that I've heard this, of course, and I understand the question that, you know, how can, you know, 9 years away from the game, has it passed him by? I don't think so, because I think he's been in a ballpark pretty much every day since he last managed, and I do think that counts for something.
So, Bernie, but his personality is, he's known as a stern guy, an intense guy. He would be managing a team, a young, upcoming team that's full of enthusiasm, the bat flip mentality, who led the league in fun last year. How would that go? How would he mesh? Would he have to adapt? Would it change the players, or would the players change him?
Well, Dave, here's the deal. You know, if you look at through his record, and I don't want to like list the names because I'll forget some people. He's had a hell of a lot of rookie of the years when he managed before. And I think that he always instilled such a winning culture that young players automatically just kind of fell in line. I mean, they followed in Albert Pujols and the way he prepared and his intensity. And La Russa is a guy that pushes players. At the time, players would be irritated with him and just like, this guy just never stops. And I mean, he really would push. I mean, his accountability factor is off the charts. But it worked here, and it definitely worked in Oakland. And the interesting thing about it, younger players bristled at times or didn't understand it at times. But as they got older or after they retired, they almost cry when they talk about Tony La Russa because of the impact he made on them. So it's a really interesting psychological thing. Now, would that style where he pushes every day, would that wear out guys now? Have players changed that much since he last managed? I think that's a legitimate question and concern. Maybe he can't go pedal to the metal every single day. But I also, you know, catching up and reading about the firing of Rick Renteria, there's at least been, and you guys obviously know much more than me, there's been a thought that things got a little loose in the White Sox clubhouse. There wasn't enough accountability. Well, La Russa would certainly address that. It's just, you know, how would the players all go along with it and stay with it without, you know, sort of turning on them? But then again, when you're the owner's best friend and you're managing the team, I don't think there's going to be anybody you could go to bellyache.
No, there wouldn't be. Bernie Miklas this morning with Mully and Haw, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'm curious about what he said at the end there. I don't know that's accurate, that people were saying that it was a loose clubhouse. I don't think the clubhouse was ever the issue here. The manager was an issue. It was one of a number of issues, but they're short on the roster. They need a corner outfielder. They need a starting pitcher. They need to add a few things here. But I don't think the clubhouse was the problem. Now, tactically, I didn't agree with a lot of what Rick Renteria was doing over the past couple of years. And I think that's the biggest reason that he is no longer here, not what was going on or was happening in the clubhouse. But, you know, you start to read between the lines, messages sent out from certain players. Okay, yeah, that guy didn't like Coop. This guy wasn't a big Rick Renteria fan. I think there's definitely room to upgrade. And I would have to agree with those people that there is room to upgrade at manager. And they can be a little bit better if they get another manager. And La Russa, in my mind, would be an upgrade. Not the perfect hire. Not a top five hire for me. But it's not as bad as a lot of people are making it out to be. The guy has been involved in the games at the player development level a lot over the last decade. Maybe I just come to grips with it. It is such a White Sox hire. And for some reason, it does feel like, especially with this job, Sox manager, maybe not with Renteria, but in the past, they want to surprise you, Sox Nation. They really do. People couldn't believe that Ozzie Guillen got that gig. And look what happened in the end. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Coming up next, we'll start to break down Bears-Panthers. Get you set for Sunday's game. The Bears are an underdog, but we do have some money being bet on this Bears side because this point spread keeps moving. I'll tell you about that next. Joe Ostrowski here, 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.